First of all, Collingwood beat Melbourne by 17 points yesterday. SCG, they were long odds to do it, but they did it emphatically. They jumped Melbourne. They kept it to a very low scoring 2-1 situation at quarter time, which I think they would have been happy with. And then they just opened them up in the second quarter. I thought they were fantastic. I thought penalty going to Oliver in the first quarter was great. Sent a very clear message to the rest of his team that, yep, let's get this job done. He did a fantastic job on him and was best on ground. Penalty, fantastic game. And some numbers there that came out of the game would be great reading for Collingwood, not so good for Melbourne.
Okay, what are the numbers that are great reading for Collingwood?
Worst, all year Collingwood can't move the footy.
No, like, they can't.
They just cannot move it from their back half to the front half.
They're stuck in treacle all year.
They have been, but they kicked 3 goals in the first half. From their defensive 50, they scored 3 goals. And that mightn't sound a lot, but against the best defence, so they can't move the footy and Melbourne don't allow any team to move the footy. That's been the basis of their great play this year. So all that would mean that Collingwood shouldn't be able to score. They scored 3 from defensive 50 in the first half. They took 10 marks inside 50 in the first half, which doesn't happen.
Never happens.
And they win by 3 goals. There's your 3-goal margin right there.
And they took the interceptors out of the equation, didn't they?
They went low. They
kicked darts.
Refused to put it up high. They kicked it nice and low. They ended up taking 17 marks inside forward 50. They laid 14 tackles in their own forward 50, so their heat and pressure was great. Pressure all around the ball was great. And the other thing that doesn't happen against Melbourne, hasn't happened this year, is they got 7 goals from their 2 big key forwards, Cameron and Majacek. So they ticked every single box. So
Did they do anything to unlock Melbourne yesterday, did you think, in your mind?
The ball use going forward for me was a big one.
Right, but other sides would... I'm thinking about what other teams will look and employ against Melbourne.
The 2 losses Melbourne have had this year against Adelaide and Collingwood, it's been short, bang, precise, move quick. Don't let them get set. Don't let the ball go up high into that forward line. So how rare was it to see, you know, Lever or May come off their man, intercept mark and rebound? So
they belted them up around the ball too.
Yeah, they did. Much harder.
Oh, much more physical around the ball. And it was good to see DeGoey getting as much of the ball as he got yesterday too, and how physical he was around the contest.
Unbelievable game by him. Penalty's best game for 2 years. Melbourne conceded their most marks for the year, so they weren't playing up on them.
You walk away from that game, though, and you say to yourself, why has this club and the coach gone their separate ways?
Yeah, so as we said, I don't know if you heard us out of six. The question this morning, if Nathan Buckley had not, if we hadn't had the press conference, just wipe last Wednesday out, whenever it was, what would be the narrative around Collingwood this morning? And I reckon it goes something like this. Okay, we've all sat there and been critical, me, myself included. Ugly footy, you know, but in the last month, they have gone a point to Port Adelaide, who we think are going to be contenders. 10 points to Geelong, who we think are going to be contenders in a horrible game. Yeah, it was horrible. Nathan Buckley says, okay, bad luck. That's the way we're going to play. They then beat Adelaide, and then they beat the top of the table. So the narrative around that is, okay, the Buckley going back to the defensive mindset is starting to kick in. This young side's starting to get it. They're getting players back, Elliott back. They're going to get – there was no Grundy yesterday.
Yeah.
They're slowly getting their players back. I think this last 8 weeks is going to be very positive for Collingwood.
Because that wasn't just an emotional performance. I didn't think it was just an emotional performance yesterday.
Yeah,
if you look at the way they played, it was structural and fundamental about the way that they actually played and moved the ball yesterday. And it was a way that they moved the ball that we've only seen rarely from Collingwood in the last 18 months.
Yeah, so your point is fantastically well made. This wasn't a knee-jerk response where Nathan Buckley just said, off you go. Just shackles are off and go for your
life. Just go and play.
Yeah, they stuck to their mantra. They had a little bit more freedom, and the players alluded to that when they got interviewed. No, the pressure was off a little bit and all that. That's natural. Anyone that says that's not doesn't happen. I know I listen to some of the commentary around it, and they go, oh, this, you know, getting up for this game, you know, that's a sign of weakness. It just happens. People are emotionally invested in whatever happens. And, of course, we'd love them to have the same emotional investment every single week, but it dips and varies because we're human beings. And it would have been at its highest yesterday because of Nathan Buckley and the relationships and the stuff surrounding it. And I know it would be great. You know, all the old school coaches, well, that's just bull. That's just, if they're the blokes, then they're the wrong blokes in your team. It happens.
Say they continue on this way. The shackles are removed. And we saw yesterday. No, just listen to me for one second. Okay, so they touched on something yesterday in the way they played. Mm-hmm. We know that they can defend, but we haven't seen enough of a more extravagant way of attacking, a more creative way of attacking, and players actually just taking the game on like they did yesterday. Rob Harvey's the coach, right? He believes in that. He allows them to continue to play that way. They storm home and win, say, seven of their remaining games. Mm-hmm. How difficult a question is it then for the Collingwood Football Club to take the coaching job off Robert Harvey?
Yeah. That's what happens when you put in an interim coach. You run the risk of that. And if they made the decision that there has to be change, then Rob's been part of the 10 years previously. So he's going to have to do something pretty special to demonstrate that he's capable of giving them the change that they seek. And that's one of the reasons that Nathan Buckley finishes up straight away. Because imagine, this is the other problem they would have had. People say, why does Nathan Buckley go
now?
They announce it on Wednesday. Why does he go? Because if they went on a charge and win eight of the last nine or seven of the last nine and they play better and this rate of improvement that we've seen in the last month keeps going, they're going to get to the year and go, what have we done? So you got to clear the decks. And look, this might be a sugar hit. There might be a sugar hit element to this. But, you know, as I said, the kids are really good. They think their kids are really good. Elliot back in the side helps them. They'll get Grundy back. They'll get players back. And, you know, they're going to be okay.
I wouldn't overreact if I was a Melbourne fan this morning. But I would say this. I think there's an uncertainty still about their front half and whether or not Wiedemann fits into their front six. Mm. Whether it's Wiedemann, whether it's Brown, or whether it's neither of those players and they come up with another formula. Right now, do you think they're still undecided about who it is that will fill those roles for them in the front half?
Well, they'd have to be, because Sam Wiedemann hasn't grabbed it. He's been given the opportunity. He hasn't put a body of work together that says, Ben, get used to playing in the VFL, because that just hasn't happened. And just like Ben Brown got 2 weeks, did he, 2 or 3 weeks go at it? He kicked a bag of he kicked three in one game, but clearly in their own mind said, well, Ben hasn't grabbed it either. So that's up for grabs still. And your point's well made.
Were they better? Were they a better team early when Brown and Wiedemann weren't available?
Mm.
Were they a better team? Were they a better front half structure?
Well, they only lost two games for the year.
Did they look better in any way to you?
Yeah, well,
more options?
Yeah, I would say that they haven't, to me, with Brown and or Wiedemann in that side, I wouldn't say they're demonstrably better than they have been without them. So they've got to sort that out, don't they? They've got to work out what that looks like going forward. So if you're a Melbourne supporter, your natural reaction is to go, oh, no, see, we're no good. Trust in the system. Their system is very, very sound. They were poor yesterday. They've got to buy, and then they'll gather for the back half of the year.
What is to happen at the Tribunal on Thursday night is a monumental, will be a monumental decision for the game. The AFL Council will argue that McKay carelessly engaged in rough conduct that was unreasonable in the circumstances, even if he was contesting the ball, bumping Clark, or both. Okay, so that's what they released yesterday. Mm. We want to hear from you, okay, because the question is, and Greg Baum has written an outstanding article in The Age this morning around this, where do we want our game to stop with physical contact?
Yeah, it's a great, it's a really good
It's
article.
A big question.
It is, and it's the looming question, because what we're saying is they're conceding that he was playing the ball. This is the difference in this for me. And this isn't, let's try and be really rational and not get personal on whether you agree or disagree. Let's just have a chat with it through it. It used to be you could play the ball or play the man. Doesn't matter. You could come off the square and I could pick you off in the centre. That used to be part of the game. Now, thankfully, we go, nah, take that out. No playing the man, play the ball. Now, what we are questioning is whether we are able to play the ball. And if we do play the ball, how aggressively are we able to play the ball? And that is a question I never thought I would get asked as a player and or lover and or supporter and or media person who does footy. You can go and get the footy, but don't go and get it too hard or too aggressively.
Okay, what do you think out there? Give us a call, because this is a massive, monumental issue in our game right now, and a decision that will be reached on Thursday night has the potential to reshape our game. So he's been charged with, or they will argue, that he carelessly engaged in rough conduct that was unreasonable in the circumstances, even if he was contesting the ball.
So unreasonably contesting the footy.
What is that? You made the point before we came on air today. One of the great marks that we've seen of all time, okay, Revolt, and we can come up with all sorts of examples. But if you're now flying back with the flight of the ball,
so this is
based on that. Is that unreasonable?
I said this last night. That was one of the most violent attacks on the footy in a marking contest.
Careless.
That I've seen. Right?
Careless.
Yeah. Well, now this is Nick Revolt. I'm saying.
Yeah.
Now they'll go look where he's come from, because they, you know what they're saying about Mackay? Look where he's come
That's
from.
That's right.
Well, you go to Nick.
He had no right to play on that ball.
Look where you've come from, Nick. The expectation for me as the defender is that I need to be able to mark that footy without you running flat out from 40 metres away and charging at me. Now, imagine if Nick takes that mark and knocks me out in the process. Mm. He's under the risk of being suspended on the basis of what we're hearing.
Okay, well, let's judge that particular mark by the charge, right, that the council will argue against Mackay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And thinking now about that mark that Nick Revolt took,
yep.
Was that unreasonable in the circumstances, even if he was contesting the ball?
Unreasonable because no one else does it.
I agree.
No one else does it. But that doesn't mean it's not right.
That's right. And
it's one of the iconic moments of the game.
So how far in all... I keep hearing people say, look, even if you don't accept it today, you're going to have to accept it in 10 years. So if you accept it in 10 years, where are we going to be in 50 years? What is the future? Well, without being too dramatic here or too sensationalizing this, where will our game be in 50 years' time?
And this is the question. And I listened to Chris Scott last night talk about it. And he says, I think Chris is, his attitude's to footy great. He said, me and Simon Goodwin, who was on, we sort of said that's the way we attack the footy. That's what we want. But the reality is the bloke's gone off with a broken jaw, so we have to explore how that came about. And so that's why we've got the open mind and we're discussing it. We happen to be of the opinion that we can't legislate every single collision, whether it be a head knock or not, out of the game. There are others that think they might be able to.
This is a 360-degree game.
The phones have gone berserk. The temper text is going nuts. We'll get as many as we can. In fact, I think this is going to roll all day. Jono's in sunshine. Hi, Jono.
G'day, fellas. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I think this week's going to be probably the biggest moment in the game of football for many years and many years to come, given this decision that's got to be made on this bump. I think we're now taking everything that's combative out of the game, and at what stage do we now stop and say, hey, that is part of the game, a collision? We got fast athletes that run very fast. They're taught to attack the ball. So now we're saying, now you've got to decide whether you're going to go in hard or you're not going to go in hard, because you might just hurt someone. I think that the whole game is, the whole fabric of the game will change from now on. I don't think for the better. I think they use the argument that mums are watching, and they don't want their young fellas to play. Well, I go against that, because the take-up amongst young kids taking up the game now, including girls, has just gone through the roof. So I don't think that's really the big consideration that everyone's thinking about.
It's going to be big, Jono. Yeah, I'm sorry to cut you, but we've got 1,000 people waiting to talk, and we've got to get a break. So we'll take this break. We'll come back. We'll get through as many calls as you can. We promise you. We've got one interview. Yep. Sam Edmonds got some big news he's going to share with us. One interview for the rest of the show, and we'll dedicate this to your calls and thoughts on it, because it is a watershed moment.
It's a massive issue in the game right now.
So Phil, Adam, Jake, Sam, Spiros, we'll get to you after this break.
Kogan credit cards. No annual fees, amazing rewards, and complimentary Kogan First membership.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
I think it's a really tough one, Jared, because on first glance, most football people that I know, I think, would take the view that if you approach the contest with good intent to go for the ball and there are unfortunate consequences, that you shouldn't be held liable. But I think the other side of it is the world's changing, not just footy, and it's incumbent on us to jump on board with that and try to forecast where we want the world to be in 5 or 10 years' time. Now, I'm not sure where I sit on it right at the moment, but I think it's a conversation worth having. But the fact that Hunter Clark's going to miss 8 weeks with a broken jaw, I'm not sure that that's acceptable in today's footy.
So that's Chris Scott last night. How much we respect you, the audience, and your messaging's great, and there's calls 1-300-736-736. Absolutely welcome. There's just one thing. There's a few messages coming through here. Did I see a different thing? He turns his body and elects to bump. Clark misses 8 weeks. So the AFL have conceded that he was playing the ball. So take the bump argument out of this. Mm. This is not about whether you've elected to bump, elected not to bump. The AFL concede that he was playing the ball.
That's right. They will argue that he carelessly engaged in rough conduct that was unreasonable in the circumstances, even if he was contesting the ball.
Phil's in Bayswater. G'day, Phil.
As in, Tim, I just think as my good parent with two kids that play off kick, all it is the messaging has got to be consistent from the AFL. We'll get our kids to stop and prop. That's fine. But let's be consistent on what we filter down because we don't want anyone to get hurt. And we're all going to let our kids continue to play football. It's not like we're going to pull them out. But just give us some clear guidelines about what you want us to do to change with the new, as opposed to ambiguity during the season.
Yeah, that's fair too. And that's what's going to happen as a result of what goes on Thursday night, Phil. And the messaging, the basic premise of being, don't play the man, play the ball, has always held us in pretty good stead. Even allowing for the fact that you are going to get hit in the head every now and then in footy because it's a full contact sport. Now we're trying to take the, you know, if you head over the footy, you can't go charging in, sling tackle, you can't, all those things which are great, but every now and then you're going to get one. And that's the decision you make when you allow your kids to play.
You spoke to a current AFL coach yesterday. What were his views on this?
Well, total confusion over where...
He's confused?
Over the ruling and how the legislation of it goes around. MRO thought the MRO was the job of them was to make this decision. It wasn't to go to the tribunal to start making decisions on what's there and what's not.
Give us some background to how this all played out yesterday. Because you're in the middle of it all because you're preparing for your show yesterday. You're on air. You're having discussions about it. How did it play out?
I was more interested in the footy. But yes. It was all happening around us. So, yeah, well, the AFL initially said, well, we can't grade this. So there's no grading. We don't want to grade it. We'll give it straight to the tribunal. And then yesterday they came out and graded it. Along the lines of, as you just read out, careless, head high, we think it's 3 weeks. So then you go, well, hang on, why didn't you do that yesterday? You said at the time you weren't able to grade it. Now you're saying, well, we can grade it. We reckon it's this and we reckon it's 3 weeks.
That's right. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. It could have been graded initially, which would then have activated it go to the tribunal for a tribunal hearing. Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
Am I right in saying that?
I think so, yeah. Sam's in
Ainsbury.
Yes, indeed, Ainsbury. Go, Sam.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I want to talk about another suspension as well because I reckon it's a lucky dip. I don't know if he gets off or doesn't get off. But I still think the worst suspension of this year is the Marlon Pickett head-high tackle. On the weekend, Shane Mumford does actually a head-high tackle, but worse than that. And there's nothing.
He got fined. Just on that point, Sam, I think he got... If you're talking about the same one that I'm thinking of, Taron Thomas, he got a fine for $1,000.
Yeah, but that's all Marlon Pickett's was, not even a fine, at worst. So if you want to talk about this Mackay one, who knows what's going to happen when they get two head-eye tackles, one's a fine, one's a week. Like, there's no consistency. So this one could be a four-week suspension, and next week it happens, it's nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Sam. I think there are a lot of people that are confused about the inconsistencies and the grey areas around this, and not every example is exactly the same. But, Gary, if the tribunal suspends Mackay, say, for 4 weeks, do you think we're going to be at the conclusion of that? Do you think this game is going to be clearer on what is and isn't an illegal attack on the ball?
No. Because for the very premise I mentioned earlier is that I'm of the opinion that you need to be able to go to at the ball with general impunity unless the players hit your head. Yeah, those rules that we spoke about earlier. I just want to see how it's played out. I'd want to see the wording and the reasons and the justification. As I said to you before, I'm not going to go to war against someone who has a different opinion to me. I want it to be inclusive because it's so very important, and I don't like the fact that we've got a broken jaw out there.
No, but, and you and I have been serious and strong advocates for the cleaning up of the game around head high contact and that type of thing.
Yep.
But we also, I think that we also agree here that this is fundamental to the game of Australian rules football, that you attack the ball. And there are inherent dangers in this game, and there are serious repercussions sometimes because of that, because you've got two people attacking the same football with the same ferocity.
Yeah. So my other issue is there was a couple of instances of players, I think it was Ben King and Tex Walker, who in a marking contest weren't able to get to the mark. So they elected to just throw their elbow to the back of the head of the opponent in front of them.
Mm.
To me, that's so much worse, Tim. To me, that action is so much worse than what David Mackay did, yet it's been brushed aside. I don't even know. They get fined, those blokes? I don't even know.
No.
We're not talking about it.
Because the outcome wouldn't have been a broken jaw or a split head in any way.
Yes, but let's have a look at the two incidents. One is the contesting of the footy. The other is, oh, well, I didn't get there. I can't mark it. Therefore, I will throw my elbow to the back of this bloke's head. If we're talking about the head, why isn't the outrage on those two incidents?
Because there wasn't a broken bone.
Yes, but that's right.
I understand. We should be talking about the act, not the repercussions of the act.
And we are now talking, when we discuss these things, about potential for injury.
Mm.
They come into play. So we are spending, and we will consume ourselves with this David Mackay incident, because there is a big outcome on Hunter Clark, sadly. Yet we just go, oh, well, there's Tex who's throwing this elbow to the back of the head.
Mm.
And there's Ben who's thrown the elbow to the back of the head. Yet we go, oh, well, that's footy. I mean, come on. Let's get outraged. You want to get outraged? Get outraged about that.
We'll just take Shannon quickly before we go to the 7:30 news. Good morning, Shannon.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, Shannon.
I've just got a little theory as well on that bump. I know, like, I'm not taking anything away from that bump. Like, Hunter Clark's, you know, copped the broken jaw. I feel really sorry for him. But sometimes as another player coming in for the ball, you've sort of got to have that care as well and brace yourself a bit better. I mean, I'm not taking anything against him. You know, it was obviously a split, you know, decision, and it's so fast, but you just need to sort of brace yourself knowing that this is a tough, quick sport and things like that can happen. And I've just noticed with a couple of the other bumps, you know, in the last couple of years, some of the players are sort of just laxy-daisy a little bit and sort of like not really getting ready for that, you know, that bump. And it is going to happen, and you just got to realise that, you know,
I'm with you. Here, where you come from, Sam? We've got to get 7:30 news headlines. We've got Sam Edman. As a point well made, you got some responsibility to prepare yourself. But with, as Tim always says, it's a 360 degree game, and sometimes you can't see what's coming your way. COVID continues to play havoc with the AFL fixture. Late change yesterday, Hawthorn and Essendon. Massive game this one. Well, they always are massive. Big rivals. The Hawks back on the winning track, and the Bombers have been playing some good footy. It now moves its way down to Launceston. The Hawthorn CEO, Justin Reid, has been good enough to join us this morning. Good morning, Justin.
Morning, Gary. Morning, Tim.
Nice to talk to you. What does this mean for the footy club when I know we've all got to be, you know, fluid and pivot and all those trendy words that we've had to deal with in the last 18 months, but how does it impact on the footy club?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Really, over the last week, I guess, we've been, you know, in conversations with the government, both here and down in Tassie, trying to be ready for this because, you know, there wasn't going to be any crowds. So we knew that unless something changed, that a lot could change. So we had to be ready, although it's not ideal. You know, it's for us being able to get to Tassie is not a bad result in the light of no crowds in Melbourne.
The financial implication?
They always do. I mean, you know what I mean? This is something you don't plan for. Essendon versus Hawthorn at the MCG is one of the biggest ones for the year.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is a financial implication, but, you know, over the last 18 months, we've had to adapt and, you know, you can never bank on anything at the moment. That's for sure.
Good morning, Justin. Crowd size-wise, what do you think? What would be a reasonable crowd for this game?
We haven't had a big game like this with two big Melbourne clubs for a long time. So, you know, we'd hope that, you know, it's not a huge stadium, but if we could sell it out, you know, sort of 18,000 to 20,000, probably 18,000 is about, with 4 days' notice, is about right. And I think that'd be a great result.
Get Sheeds involved. No one spruks any better than what he does.
And how we should, for sure.
And the travel arrangements are now and the restrictions that are in place today, and they may change by Thursday, but right now, Hawthorn fans here in Victoria, Bomber fans here in Victoria, they're not allowed to go to Tasmania. Am I right in saying that?
I don't think so at the moment, but they could change. As we stand here today, I think that's right. But I know the government yesterday said that they're going to work through things in the next day or so to see what that looks like. And it all depends, you know, on our numbers at the moment every day here in Victoria. But we'll get a little bit of hope that, you know, hopefully some of the Victorian members will be able to get across there. But we do have, you know, 10,000 members in Tassie, of which will be pretty keen to see us come down there. And then there'll be Essendon supporters in Tassie for sure who'd be really, really keen to get to the game.
Justin, I know your team, your club, has been engaged in boxing as part of their training for a long period of time now. Last week, though, there was an incident. I think it was last week. Mitch Lewis broke his jaw or had his jaw broken. Has the AFL, have they begun an investigation into this at your club?
Yeah, I don't think he's got a broken jaw. I think...
Concussion, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, he received some concussion. We've been working. I mean, it's, you know what, this is a really unfortunate one. As you said, it's been a part of our program for a long time. You know, our guys, led by Rob McCartney, have done a pretty thorough investigation. And it really, I mean, as much as we'd love to sensationalise it, it does look like a really unfortunate training accident. You know, he sort of, you know, I know someone said he zigged when he should have zagged, but, you know, I've seen a bit of the vision, and unfortunately, you know, his head lowered just at the time when a body punch sort of corrected him on the scone a bit. But, you know, and really unfortunate. You know, he's a terrific young fella. You know, putting anyone out with concussion is terrible. And, it, you know, it's a really serious issue, concussion, and something that our guys have treated it really seriously. But, you know, a real unfortunate accident. But, you know, saying that, it's different times. So we do need to look at the way we do things and make sure that the safety and the health of our people is paramount. And they'll look at that. But as far as the AFL go, I know our guys have been talking with the AFL over the weekend, and they'll work pretty closely together to make sure that the best result is achieved.
So will you talk to Clarko in the football department and tell them that they need to stop doing this, that boxing can no longer be part of their training program, or do we not need to go to that degree?
I mean, I think anything you do, you need to make sure that the safety's, you know, safety's first. So if boxing's to remain part of our program, and, you know, I don't set the training program, but there's people who are far better equipped than I am, we'll sit down and I'll say, if this is to continue, what's the best and safest way we can do this? And they'll work with that. And if there is any risk to the player, I'm sure they'll address that and adapt accordingly.
With the Hawthorn CEO, Justin Reeves. Justin, are you bemused when you keep hearing that Alistair Clarkson's going to leave at the end of the year?
Gary, it's a funny one, isn't it? It just continues to come up, you know, week by week, no matter what I say, no matter what Clarko himself says, or no matter what even Jeff sort of said recently. As soon as there's some sort of movement in the coaching ranks, Clarko's name's the first mention. But internally, you know, we're pretty comfortable where we sit.
The result on the week, on Friday night, doesn't hurt either. I mean, there were some signs there.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? I mean, just, you know, we haven't, you know, obviously we haven't, this is our third win for the year. And when you've got a young team like we have, just the spirit that lifts when you get a win is so important. And, you know, we're hoping it's sort of a bit contagious and the boys want more. But, you know, in the phase we're in, we know we're not going to win every week. We want to win every week. But certainly to get the win on the weekend was fantastic for everyone.
A lot of discussion around Tom Mitchell and about where, it's not even that, it was couched as a very mature discussion. You know, Hawthorn want to keep Tom and Tom's happy to stay. But if there was something that was able to work in the best benefits, he then went out and played an absolute blinder on Friday. How do you see that playing out?
I just don't see it playing out at all. In all honesty, I'm not sure where it came from. You know, it certainly didn't come from anyone at the footy club. Mm-hmm. And my understanding, talking to Tom, it didn't come from Tom. So, you know, I think someone flags that, you know, in an article or an interview or something that's outside of the club or the player, and it gets headlines. But certainly from within our four walls, being club and player, it's not something that's ever been discussed.
Justin, I don't know whether you're in negotiations with the state government or not at the moment about any funding that you may want to receive. May not be a good time to go to them, given how outspoken your presence been about the handling of COVID-19 at the moment, though.
Jeff's certainly got his own independent voice, you know. But we work with the government closely. You know, the project that we're building down at Dingley is a community project, and the government have been really supportive. You know, they've, you know, seen the last round of the budget that they've allocated some funding towards the project. So we're looking forward to delivering a really, really good outcome. And Jeff can commentate, as he does, and he should, on behalf of his own opinion at times.
Yeah, no, we love it. We love it when he's got something to say. Are you surprised that there won't be a crowd down there at Geelong for the game between the Bulldogs and the Cats this weekend?
Have they ruled that a crowd completely out?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. They have, yeah. I'm a little bit surprised. I mean, it's out of Melbourne. I wouldn't be surprised if that changes over the week. But, yeah, I am a little surprised, personally speaking, that's for sure.
What about your AFLW application? You got knocked back, I think it was just recently, and they've given you a timeline to re-apply for entry. Where does that all sit?
Yeah, where it sits at the moment is there's four clubs that aren't in the AFLW, us being one of them, is they've opened applications now. We have to have those applications in about the next 6 weeks, and that'll be for not the next season coming, but the season after. And we fully expect to be successful in that bid. We're throwing everything at it. We've got the great Beck Goddard, who yesterday received an Order of Australia, which was fantastic, heading up our AFLW program, and we just can't wait to get in there, and it'll be fantastic for all the Hawthorne people, make our family a little bit more complete.
Beautifully said. What about the young fella? How's he handling it all? Enjoying it? Senior footy's a great thing. A little strange having the old man as a CEO. When's that contract negotiation going to take place?
Yeah, I think it's 5 years, $5 million. In all honesty, you know, he's at the very start of his journey. And, you know, he unfortunately was out of the side the other night, rolled his ankle in the captain's run. So he missed what could have been, hopefully would have been his first win. But, you know, he just continued to do the hard work, and if he does, hopefully he gets rewarded, and that'll take care of itself.